Hey everyone, I'm Bruce, and you're listening to Clearly Unfiltered, a short-form podcast that offers clear, concise, unfiltered, and undoubtedly flawed thoughts on why and how I'm butchering some of my own sacred cows. In each episode, I'm going to let those steaks sizzle and serve them up medium rare or blue, and now and again, well done or charred. Wow. I can't believe it's episode 4 already. Well, technically this is episode 6 if one counts the trailer and mini episode 1. It's been quite a journey, and I've really appreciated the feedback those of you who have been listening have been sending through. If you are enjoying Clearly Unfiltered, I'd really appreciate it if you subscribe on your favorite app or leave a rating on your favorite platform. When I first approached Joy Vetterline to be a guest on the last episode, the intention was for it to be a standalone offering as an introduction to some of my spiritual wrestling as I deconstruct evangelicalism and its impact on my life. I plan to return to this conversation at some stage in the future, but as Robert Frost tells us, knowing how way leads on to way, this episode is a look at this topic from another angle, because as serendipity would have it, she provided an affirming yet alternative approach to what I've been sharing. It's an angle that brings much needed balance to the narrative and I believe some clarity about my own journey. Before I launch into that specifically, I want to start with some context and then we'll get to the meat, so to speak. After releasing episode 1, my good friend Paul sent me this voice note.
I think there will definitely be people out there who wonder where you're at spiritually, what your belief is. And you allude to the fact that you've prayed a lot, but prayer hasn't worked as well as X, Y, and Z. And so there are people who will obviously question your faith. And perhaps one day you can, for those people, outline exactly what your faith is. I guess this is a road of discovery for you too, as you muse over these things and talk about them like we do when we're speaking to a therapist or psychologist. We discover things about ourselves as we speak. And so as you do these podcasts, you'll probably learn more about yourself too. And it's great to challenge people's thoughts and stuff. Although you do want to keep people engaged as well, those people that are questioning your faith, I'd say they, as much as the person suffering from a mental illness or the gaslighting or the marginalization for whatever they are, I think equally as much the people who are saying, this man's lost his mind, where is his faith? What does he believe? He needs to continue listening. So that would be my advice to you, is to keep that in mind and to keep those people somehow engaged as well, because I think those are the ones that almost stand to benefit most.
Man, I love that guy. Anyway, Paul's perspective planted a seed, and I've been thinking a lot about what I put out on my social media platforms, mostly Instagram, which is often brazen criticism of the institutional church, evangelicalism, white privilege, patriarchy, and more. Then, after a series of Insta story rants, another friend sent me a DM saying this: "Mate, I flipping love you, but these posts bashing churches make me want to unfollow you. I don't think that they do anything for anyone other than stir." So, while I might hold a different perspective to this person, and I might still share about things I find problematic, my interaction with him also got me thinking about how we hold the tension between things and communicate in ways which help people grow and think critically without alienating them. More recently, I posted Megan Crozier's An Open Letter to Evangelicals Wondering About My Deconstruction, because a lot of what she expresses in that article mirrors my journey. Again, some people reached out privately to ask if this is how I feel. Then, just this week, my friend Stanley sent me a bunch of voice notes in response to the episodes that I have already dropped. And again, I was challenged about how what I share is perceived, because I think I can quite easily give the impression that I'm simply burning everything to the ground. Which I must say is a legit avenue for some people, and if that's where you are at, I'm cool with that too. But truth is, in all of the deconstructing, I'm also looking to build again. I might not be sure of what that looks like, but I do definitely desire spiritual connection and practice, and there are things within the Christian tradition that still resonate with me. Stanley and I first met at Vintage Coffee when we worked behind the bar as volunteer baristas, and while we haven't hung out a ton, whenever we do talk, it feels like a meeting of the hearts and minds. Although I must say that Stanley is a much better barista than I am, and is, I believe, inordinately more intelligent than I am. I also love the way Stanley thinks about the world and interacts with it. In short, Stanley is a safe person for me, and because of that, I asked him to give me honest feedback about Clearly Unfiltered, which he did, and I was blown away by his insights. And so as I listened to his voice notes, I really felt that his perspective was one that needed to be shared, so I asked his permission to do so, and here we are. While he challenged some of my thinking, he was also very affirming of my journey.
You're telling your narrative and your perspective and your story, and it's not like you're picking a fight or you're arguing, you're putting forward valid criticisms that you've thought through very well.
And so, Stanley's reflection on my narrative, the story that's unfolding as these episodes are released, has helped me to see things from a different perspective, which is exactly the kind of dialogue I think we need in the world today. What I particularly love about Stanley's thoughtful response is the way in which he has helped me to understand that often the views I express don't seem very balanced or nuanced, and this might alienate people, which might surprise you, is not really my aim. I really am not trying to piss you off, even if that might be a consequence of some of the things you hear. To kick off though, Stanley contrasts his journey with mine and shares some real pearls of wisdom in the process.
So my story feels a little bit different to yours. So there's these three movements in general, and in terms of how growth happens. We have a thesis, we have an antithesis, and then we have a synthesis, or we have order, disorder, reorder. And when I listen to you and the conversations you've had so far, and even the stories you share on social media, it's very much on the deconstruction side. It's on the negation side. It's sort of unmasking the Caesar or the Kaiser, what's the English version of that story, and showing, listen, he's wearing no clothes. It's very much on that side. Whereas my story, I never went through a phase where I really grappled in this darkness with and was able to tear down the system and sort of see through the bullshit of the system and negate it, and then later on come to some kind of more synthesis or different alternative or different interpretation of the story. I didn't quite follow that path. What happened for me was I was so engrossed in the system that all the baggage, all the hate, all the burden from the system, I sort of saw the system as too good, too big, too right, too correct to fail. It would never have crossed my mind to criticize the system. So my hatred and my anger was all focused inwardly towards myself, which is, you know, it's really rough. And what happened to me was, at some point, everything just fell apart at the same time, and it was like I saw through the bullshit of the whole thing. But it was a simultaneous movement, because my eyes got opened to an alternative story, to a deeper meaning, to a more perennial, a more symbolic, a more it's difficult to say, but with contemplative spirituality, with an experience of the real, with an experience of the other side, of what I can only call resurrection, of awakening. But in that experience of actual life, of saying, oh, this is actually the good news, in that experience, it gave me confidence because that was so real to me that I could look and say, but this other stuff I believed always, that's bullshit. So it was in a way like the death and the resurrection for me happened at the same time, and the freedom from the self-hatred and all the baggage that the church and culture and everything with gender and everything placed on me, that got stripped away in the same moment that I discovered a new life. But that new life gives an alternative reading or an alternative interpretation of the same symbol that's been familiar with me all the time. So it's still Jesus language. It's still Bible language, but it's a complete different interpretation that in evangelical and traditional circles would very much probably be seen as heretical, even though I think that goes back to the very core and heart of the tradition. But it's perennial, and I can find parallels in poetry, in Western philosophy, in Eastern philosophy, and even across religions. But I do think it gets back to the essential message. But that freedom, I see it in the same symbol. So for me, I feel no need to attack the symbol, because in a way, it's the symbol was the boat that brought me to the other side of the river. So my perspective is different. I don't go around negating the thesis. I rather go and spread like what I feel is a different, an alternative interpretation. It's like, well, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. It's sort of that perspective.
It's quite clear that Stanley and I have different points of departure and different ways of approaching what might be similar wrestlings. The notion of rebuilding something, as Stanley shares, out of what I've been breaking down really resonates with me because, as I mentioned before, I am searching for meaning and for spiritual practices and expression that bring me and those with whom I interact life. I am also mindful of the fact that this isn't everyone's deconstruction journey. Your journey might not be to rebuild, and that's fine as well, like I said earlier, because it's exactly that, your journey. But in my case, I do feel that I don't want to neglect the things that have given me life. I'm not sure I'll ever get to whatever the destination might be, but I am drawn to the idea that Stanley shares of a perspective that is able to hold space for the tension between deconstruction and reconstruction and finding new meaning in erstwhile ideas and symbolism.
I'm a little bit scared of deconstruction just by itself, because at some point the deconstruction needs to stop and reconstruction needs to happen. But on the other hand, like I loved your episode about the mental health, for example. Because I've sat in so many churches as well, where it's like, listen, take your thoughts capture, like, and for me, it was about my sexuality and sexual thoughts that is now so-called wrong, and even anxious thoughts and depressing thoughts, and it's like, that's not the way it works. That's really not the way it works. And calling bullshit on that will free people. It's necessary. So it's a tricky thing for me. Like at some point when I listen to your podcast and your conversations, I want to sort of interrupt and say, listen, okay, Bruce, you're so legitimately criticizing this thing, but also like I want to say, okay, but there's a redemptive part as well. It's not all negative. I want to give a positive spin, like a new truth. It's not just. Not just a tearing down, but also that I want to take that symbol and sort of redeem it and say, listen, yes, this thing you've been taught in church and whatever, and you've always believed, that's bullshit for many, many reasons. Here's an alternative interpretation instead of just tearing down the symbol. And it does get complicated because it sounds like I'm waffling sometimes and I'm not making a statement, and I'm just trying to keep all sides happy, which is not what I'm trying to do.
In a recent Instagram live from the Practice Co, Liz Milani further challenged my thinking and way of being in this, I don't know what you call it, deconstruction space. She highlights that there's a difference between doing the work of dismantling systems of religious power in one's life and becoming obsessed with one's bitterness to the point that the bitterness itself becomes one's work. Liz's insights forced me to consider what I wanted for myself in this journey, and I suppose in the end I do want, as she shares, to focus on my own healing and that of others without the mudslinging. I want to be able to connect with and care for my soul without being triggered. I love how Stanley frames this too.
So we need you, Bruce. We need you to help free people from the oppression of these things. But I'm also wondering sometimes, like, whether if it's always deconstruction, whether it doesn't alienate people, because there is some people have found some life in a Hillsong song, for example. Yes, even though the, like, we need to call out the pastors on their bullshit, for example, there is a chance that someone might have found some life somewhere in that thing. And I need to, and it's difficult for me being on this side, I need to give the space to Stanley, to myself, for where I was 5 years ago. Because 5 years ago, if I had just torn off the protective shell, I would have rejected a life-giving message. I needed to bump my head against the wall a little bit in order to feel how it hurts, to be able to, from an authentic, lucid way, see my way through the other side. Because otherwise my defenses would have just been up. It's so tricky. But we do need allyship, and we do need people to call bullshit. We do need the negation. So I do think there is something to be said for a pure criticism of something, because I think a pure criticism or negation sort of forces the people supporting the system or supporting the original thesis to actually have to justify and word and explain their position. And just in doing that, you already win ground, because they would already, if it's a mature person, they would already concede to part of your point. And you would already make some positive ground. And also for, like, if I just think of myself, like, if I were in high school, or I were like early university, and now I'm too scared to criticize this church, this system, this, well, the truth. That's the way it is. The problem must lie with me, because this is a tradition that's like, this is the truth. It's God. Our people have handed it down. And if they were someone that was on my side and that was willing to criticize this, I might have started questioning the system earlier, and instead of directing all the criticism towards myself. So it might have saved me a lot of pain. But on the other hand, I'm so grateful that I didn't walk away from the symbols, because the very thing I'm criticizing is the thing that redeemed me. Which is so ironic. That's why I hold no anger against the church, because the very thing that hurt me when it got redeemed was the thing that saved me. And there's such a danger for me when I only criticize, like, I walk that path with someone. If someone wants to turn their back on it completely and never, by all means, great. I'm not going to turn you back. That's your story. That's your truth. That's where you go. You don't have to reclaim anything. But for me, I found such redemption in there, and it's so sad for me if people just turn their back on the whole thing.
Stanley's ability to hold this tension between these seemingly oppositional ideas gives me hope. I also appreciate how he is able to simultaneously affirm my journey and urge me to consider where other people might be at in their journeys, and to see the redemptive elements in what to me seems like a bit of a shit show. Lastly, Stanley weighs in on a question I asked Joy in episode 3, and his insights and historical perspective are too good not to share.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons people are so scared of asking questions or of the negation, of deconstruction, is I think there's a fear that once you start doing that, then anarchy will ensue, and it sort of becomes just a free for all, and just pick whatever works for you, and there's just the old tradition, and everything just sort of goes down the drain, and it's a free for all, and it's just we don't know what happens next. But if you actually go back and look at church history, that's the way that the church has grown throughout its history. Like, if you were to go back in time and with the goal of wanting to identify what the actual true expression of Christianity would be, you would end up with a complete different answer based on what time period you travel to. So how far do you want to go back to get to a true expression of what Christianity is? There's always a dominant form, and then there's a criticism of it. And out of that rabble, out of that criticism, comes a newer form, which then becomes a dominant expression of the faith. It's always been like that.
I'm so exceedingly grateful to Stanley for allowing me to share these snippets of his voice notes with you. And I want to thank all of you for listening and being part of this journey. I also hope that this episode brought a greater nuance to a complicated and complex topic, which I'll surely revisit sometime in the future. I'd love to hear what you think. Keep an eye out for the next episode, sometime around May 13th, which will be another mini episode that will introduce a conversation I believe we need to be having about supremacy and how it continues to show up in all spheres of life. Mini episode 2 will focus on my journey of recognizing my own privilege and wrestling with the space I take up in the world and the impact that has on others. Until then, be cool and stay safe.